Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman.
Hey everybody, it's DeAndre Marie, the producer and sometimes guest host on The Life of a Gentleman. And on behalf of everyone that is working on The Life of a Gentleman, we sincerely hope that you all have had wonderful holidays, and we hope that you have a prosperous and blessed and gentleman-like 2017. So for today's episode, Richard had a few of his top picks that he liked from various episodes that we thought we'd combine into one episode, kind of like a best of. So we hope you enjoy it. Now, first on his list, he absolutely loved when he and Charles talked about cooking and the importance of learning another craft in order to help out around the house. Because, I mean, being a gentleman is way more than how you look. Am I right? So let's get into that segment right now.
Welcome to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm Richard Taylor, an award-winning author, apparel industry expert, and business owner. I'd like to personally thank you for listening to this podcast and taking this journey with us as we strive to make continual progress in living by the gentleman's code. Please, if you would you rate, review, and subscribe to the Life of a Gentleman podcast? It means so much to us because it helps us gain exposure so we can bring this information to even more listeners, expanding the listening audience. We'd also like to invite you to please download your free copy of The Life of a Gentleman in an ebook or audiobook format. You can do this by visiting harrisonblakeapparel.com, visiting the blog, and downloading your free copy. That's over 144 pages of information on subjects pertinent to the minds of gentlemen. At this time, I'd like to extend a warm welcome and introduce my co-host, Charles. How's it going, Charles?
Oh, Richard, I am doing great. I'm excited about today's topic.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. It's something that is close to our hearts because I think if the audience doesn't know, it's something we both enjoy doing, and that is
cooking.
Yes, we both enjoy cooking, and I think it's definitely something that every gentleman should know how to do, at least prepare one dish.
Yes, and if you make that one dish, you make it well. Make it your own, make it your signature, and if you can master that one dish, you can master a lot of other dishes.
Now, don't go clicking off the podcast. I know there's a lot of guys out there that they heard cooking and they're running for the delete button for this episode, but don't be so hasty because there's a lot of benefits to learning how to cook. And like we said, you don't have to become a master chef. It's not going to happen overnight. But knowing how to cook at least one good meal is going to change your life.
Yeah, I know when I was younger, I have fond memories of my mom standing in the kitchen cooking. And unlike my sister who used to shy away, I used to say, "Hey, mom, what are you doing?" And she would take me and she'd show me how to cut up the vegetables. She'd show me how to prepare the different meals. And this is something that now that my mom is gone, it's some fond memories that I keep not only inside my mind, but inside my heart. So it's a passion that I have for cooking.
That makes sense. And we appreciate the heartfelt comments that you related about your mother and the memories that you have. That actually brings me to my first tip. And that is a reminder to everybody listening. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, like home cooking. We've all had a home cooked meal that outdoes anything that you've had at any restaurant. We have that family member or friend, or maybe it's your grandmother. They can just cook an amazing meal that you can't get anywhere else.
Yes, that is true. That home cooked meal, it grounds you. It takes you back to home. It takes you back to when you was a child, when you have first taken it and when you first eat it. Nothing like the home cooked meal.
Lots of memory.
Lots and lots of memory. My first tip is when you start to cook, just keep it simple. Don't try to do an elaborate 8-course meal like you see.
No.
Just keep it simple. A few key ingredients can go a long way.
Yeah, and some of the easiest things that you could start cooking, in my opinion, would be fish, because you can bake that in the oven and it only takes about 15 minutes. But also chicken. It's very simple to prepare a chicken or fish dish.
Yeah, and now with so many of our listeners, they may be vegetarians, they may be vegans, a great pasta dish, it goes well. Some great vegetables, fresh vegetables that you season up, you have to have those, and those are great. So which brings me to another tip, have plenty of spices on hand.
Yeah, that's one thing that you need to kind of load up on, if you can say that, is your spice rack or your spice cabinet. Some people have gun racks. We have spice racks.
We have spice rack. That is our arsenal. The spice rack is your arsenal. You can add so much flavor, and it transports people just by a little extra spices and seasoning. Don't forget to season it also too.
No, and when you said transport, it made me think of my next tip, and that is when you're cooking and you're trying to learn different recipes, you have the chance to be in your home. Get comfortable, get daring with it. Try different ethnic cuisines that maybe you don't want to go out to a restaurant and spend a lot of money on, but you can try them at home first, because like you said, with those different spices and flavors, you're going to get some different tastes than what you normally have. So try them at home first. Experiment. Have some fun.
Have some fun with cooking. And here's the thing also too, what you didn't like when you was younger, guess what? Your tastes change.
Tastes change.
You don't know if you like them when you're older, so just don't get into the habit of, oh no, I don't like this, I don't want to cook this. But experience the world and the taste. Have fun with it.
Now, I know some people still aren't convinced. They're saying, this is too hard. I'm not cooking. I've never cooked anything. I can't even scramble eggs. But I'm telling you, it's not that difficult. There's a lot of tutorials online.
Yes.
There's a lot of cooking shows. There's whole networks dedicated to cooking. And the shows are fun. They're informative. And you can learn a lot about cooking.
Yes. And when you're cooking, here's another thing. Simply taste your food. As you're cooking, just taste it. Because if it tastes good to you, guess what? Chances are it's going to taste good to someone else. But if it's nasty to you, or you maybe over-season it, just throw it out and start back fresh.
Yeah, perfect. Just kind of switching gears a little bit. There's some health benefits to cooking.
Yes.
You know, it can be very unhealthy if you're eating out all the time. There's a lot of preservatives in those foods. There's a lot of chemicals.
Sodium.
Artificial sweeteners. We could go on. And you don't want to be filling up your body with those things in, because it's garbage in, garbage out. So the benefits of cooking is you're getting fresh ingredients. You know where the food comes from. You're getting probably more servings of vegetables and fruits when you're doing it yourself. And you know that the food is fresh. And then we've always heard those stories you see on Dateline, or you see on the 6 o'clock news, where there's this rogue restaurant worker that's doing some odd things to the food. And so you avoid that as well.
Yes, and going back to eating out, what also does it affect? Not only does it affect our waistline, but it affects our pocketbook.
Whoa, yeah.
You know, on the average, by stop eating out 1 to 2 times a week, you can actually save between $100 to $300 a month on savings just by not eating out.
Now think about that next time you're in the market for a new suit, because we get a lot of emails and people are saying, well, I want to live this life of a gentleman. I want to make these changes. I want to look a certain way, but I don't have any money. I'm broke. Maybe if you stop eating out.
Maybe if you stop eating out and you become conscious of how much you're actually spending at these restaurants, then maybe that little extra income can help you become that gentleman you want.
Yeah, definitely it can. And just to piggyback on that, talking about cost, you probably don't realize it, but when you buy prepackaged food from the grocery store, not only are you getting that the preservatives and things like that, but they actually cost more. You know, think about this. Let's take potatoes. You get potatoes in a box.
Yeah.
You know, and you whip them up real quick, whether, you know, they're mashed or they're all gratin potatoes. It costs way more. You know how cheap potatoes are if you just get them yourself?
You get a whole bag for like less than a dollar sometimes on sale. We're always budget conscious.
Yeah, definitely. The same thing with sometimes even with those prepackaged salads. I know those are all the rave. Sure, they're convenient, but sometimes if you just get the ingredients separately, you're going to save some money there and be healthy.
Yeah, learn. Use your knife skills. Learn a knife skill. Get a great knife and a great set of dishes. That's a great tool, a great tip also, too. If you have the cookware that's good, that's not going to stick on you, then you have a less likelihood of things to burn.
Yeah, what you said makes me think about there's a tool for every job.
Yes.
And just like if you're doing home improvement, you have to have the right tools or the project's not going to come out right. The same way in the kitchen. You have to have the right tools in the kitchen. Sure, it's an investment at first, but those tools, when you buy them, those utensils in the kitchen, they're going to last a long time. You're going to have those for years. Probably be passing them down to the next generation.
Yeah, just like a suit is an investment also too, so is your utensils or your tools that you're using in the kitchen is an investment on your health. And also too, another tip that I have, take advantage of those cooking shows. Like you said, there is channels dedicated just to cooking. Now, I have a relative, and they hate the cooking shows because they can't visualize the food. Or they said, well, I can't smell it. How do I know it tastes good? But once you learn what those ingredients are, once you know how those spices work together, then you can take advantage of the cooking shows and you can see that, hey, this can help me.
Definitely. And to those naysayers that are still on the fence after this discussion, thinking that cooking is going to take too much time, it really doesn't take that long. You can prepare some of the ingredients in advance and have them ready to go. And think about it like this. When you prepare the meal at home, you're saving money double because there's probably going to be leftovers that you could take to lunch at work the next day. Or if you don't mind eating the meal again the next day, sometimes when those seasonings kind of settle in overnight, it tastes a little bit better than the second day, if you ask me.
Yeah, sometimes when you let those seasoning marry themselves together, and then it brings an intense and deep richness to the meal. And speaking of marrying or your significant other, can you just imagine how happy they would be when you prepare a meal and they don't have to? When you're there and you help them out, it not only helps you out by being healthier, but this is the life of a gentleman. You're helping out your family and your life continue to become better.
Oh, man. Hey, bonus points, anyone?
Bonus points. And it's as simple as learning how to grill also, too.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on grilling.
Oh, man. I love my grill. I love my smoker. You can just do so much with just that piece of equipment.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. I'll be honest with the audience. Charles got me turned on to the smoker. And if you don't have a smoker in your life, you need to get one quick. There's a video I saw on YouTube after Charles told me about a smoker. He brought over some smoked chicken. It was amazing. I mean, mouthwatering chicken. You know, it's just chicken, but I'm going crazy. Like it's a five-star restaurant. I watched this video, and this gentleman was doing a tutorial. He was an older gentleman, and he had a heavy accent. But it's something that me and a buddy of mine always say every time we break out the smoker now.
What's that?
At the end of that video, he pulled out those porterhouse steaks, and he said, "God bless Master Bill." And that just cracked us up. But you know what? The food was so good. We just tipped our hat to him. I'm telling you, get a smoker in your life. It makes it easy.
It makes it easy. And the great thing about that you can do a large quantity of food. And here's another thing. If you make a big amount, just simply freeze some. Invest in some good freezer bags and you can freeze it. And it can stay up in your freezer up to 6 months or so if you wrap them properly.
Yeah, and like you said, a large amount of food, entertaining. When you have people over, you don't have to skimp. Yeah. I mean, you look like the host with the most when you got that smoker. Because you can get a deal on some chicken quarters or some ribs. And you can load up that smoker When you pull that meat out, people are thinking, man, who is this guy?
Oh, man, some salmon on the smoker.
Whew.
That's a great thing.
Hey, well, Charles, let me tell you, I'm getting hungry. You're going to have to give your last tip.
I have one more tip. Now, we have a tip for those picky eaters. I'm talking about our kids.
Uh-oh.
How can we help our kids to eat healthier? One way is to have your kids help prepare food for you with you in the kitchen. When they're doing that, then they see that they have their hands in the work of preparing it, so they're more apt to eat it. And then also, too, why not grow a garden together? When you're working together and you grow that garden, and they see that their own vegetables are growing and they're achieving a size, and they come and they cut them, what are they more likely to do?
When they're involved, they're going to eat those vegetables now. And that's usually hard to do. But when they're involved, you don't have to twist any arms. They're curious little people, and they're going to go ahead and try it because they're part of it.
Yes. So your enthusiasm about cooking, just like my mom, enthusiasm and great cooking rubbed off upon me, I'm trying to instill that within my son. And in turn, he will become a master cooker. And then we're trying to instill it within our audience. So those who are leery, give it a chance and keep it simple.
Sounds good. As I mentioned just a second ago, I'm pretty hungry now after this discussion. Why don't we get in this interview, and after this, let's go grab a bite to eat.
Oh, definitely. Let's go.
That was great, wasn't it? I mean, I really like when Richard and Charles, or whoever is the host of a particular episode, really dive into just various aspects of being a gentleman that may not always come to mind at first. Now, another top pick that Richard had for this episode was when we had Justin Mashouf of Mystic Man Beard Company come on for an interview. They talked about grooming and his products to help enhance and moisturize beards. And it was a really informative conversation, even for those who don't have beards like myself. So, moving to the next segment, we will be listening to the interview that Richard had with Justin Mashouf on The Life of a Gentleman.
Welcome, everyone, to the Life of a Gentleman podcast, and today we are joined by a special guest. This is Justin Mashouf from Mystic Man Beard Company, and he's going to explain to us what is Mystic Man and how it's going to benefit us and make your beard look awesome. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it. You know, Mystic Man is a company that's kind of founded on the principles of the great mystics of the past and the present and the future. You know, we look and try to better ourselves as men and as human beings and individuals, and try to be, you know, good citizens of our universe and look good while doing it. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with looking good and, you know, beautifying yourself for your creation.
No, there's nothing wrong with that, and we definitely see just from your page that you have a lot of people looking great. So let me ask you, why do you think beards are so popular now?
You know, I think kind of a lot of us are going back to that original kind of feeling of humanity as, you know, just kind of getting back to that natural state. You know, I think there's kind of also like a fad or fashion that's kind of happening around beards, but I think that kind of the source of it is people just being more comfortable being them. I think now with a lot of workplaces being a little bit more lax on their kind of appearance policies, and also people working remotely now, they're actually able to not be so superficial and have to shave their face every day, which is actually quite damaging to, you know, your skin. So people are kind of getting back to that natural state, you know, feeling kind of manly, being back in the outdoors. It's, I think, in some ways, a kind of an answer to kind of our modern, it's like a reaction to the kind of modern over technology use of people kind of getting stuffed up and being kind of on computers all the time. You know, people kind of want to unleash the beast a little bit and letting that facial hair grow.
Well, letting go, yeah.
Yeah, with that being a trend, that's got to be a big boom for your business. Now, is that what prompted you to get into the beard care business? Is that the right term?
Yeah, you know, we're currently diversifying our products right now into being a more kind of comprehensive personal care brand. We're developing a shampoo, body wash, as well as a pomade. so that can be used in hair and beard. And, you know, really what prompted us as a business to get into personal care is just the fact that, you know, men are being a bit more conscious of what they're putting on their skin and in their hair. And as well as kind of this movement of social entrepreneurship and trying to, you know, consume things that we know, you know, these companies are giving back to the community. You know, we pride ourselves on trying to get some of the proceeds from our profits back into the community, specifically to educational causes that, you know, serve underprivileged communities and, you know, frankly, communities that have been ignored by the rest of the world. So, you know, for me as a consumer, I'd rather, you know, spend my dollars with somebody who's going to, you know, do good with it, and also, you know, that have taken the steps to source their ingredients from places where, you know, the workers aren't being affected by terrible chemicals and pesticides. These all have long-term effects on our world as a whole, that affects each and every one of us. So that's really what prompted us to kind of get into this business.
Yes, and we can definitely see the activism that you guys have. It definitely is reflected within your product. Now, you touched on it a little bit, but is there a difference between facial hair and hair on your head and the products that you use? Is there a difference?
Yeah, you know, I think there definitely is. I mean, from a couple standpoints, one being, you know, obviously the styling of that hair, right, and the amount of upkeep. Right. Generally, you know, somebody gets a haircut once every, whatever, 2 to 3 weeks. Your face, you know, you kind of have to be a little bit more on top of it. You know, styling the beard, making sure that, you know, you don't have that crazy neck flame or that what we call the neck connect, which connects your neck hair to your chest hair, which is like a super grimy look. So, you know, it does take a bit more upkeep than, you know, the hair on your head. However, you know, it is actually important to care for your face as, you know, dealing with, you know, potentially ingrown hairs, you know, making sure that you're moisturizing, and the skin underneath your beard tends to kind of lose its moisture and be drawn out into the facial hair. And so in using a beard oil product or a beard balm, you're also moisturizing the skin underneath and reducing the flaking that happens, or the dandruff, the beard dandruff. That's an important concept, you know.
Yeah, we gotta love that dandruff. Did you coin that, Justin?
I don't know if I coined it, but I do like to say it.
I'm stealing it. Hey, you know, this show is called The Life of a Gentleman, and you brought up some great points about not wanting to let things just get out of control. So what are some of the tips or pointers you could give for grooming your beard? How often do you need to trim it up, or how do you do the grooming? What do you recommend?
You know, I think everybody is kind of like their own steward of themselves, and, you know, you have to understand also how your own facial hair grows. But in general, you know, I think one thing that's important is that people also look into their nutrition, because nutrition kind of dictates the quality of the hair that grows out. So that's like your first start, right? Is making sure that, you know, you're getting a balanced diet, proteins, you're drinking plenty of water. You know, one of the biggest causes of dandruff is actually dehydration, right? So you don't want that dandruff, that crazy dandruff. You're probably not drinking a lot of water if you have like extreme dandruff. So that's like the first start. And then, you know, clippers are great, a great start. You know, there's a lot of good clippers on the market. I definitely always have a pair of scissors handy by, you know, my bathroom mirror, making sure that I'm kind of catching those strays. It'll kind of reduce on the manginess. And then I would say on a daily basis, I'm using a razor to line my neck up and my cheeks, because, you know, that's kind of the first thing that starts to kind of ruin the shape of a beard, is that, you know, you're getting some early growth of, or, you know, your cheeks are being overgrown and your neck is getting grimy. Line up the back of that neck. If you live near a barber, you know, a lot of barbers, they have like discounted prices for just doing a beard lineup. So you ask them ahead of time, like, hey, just do some work on my beard. They'll take care of you, and it's much quicker than a regular haircut. So you can be in and out of the barber chair within 5-10 minutes, and have a professional take a look at you.
Oh, great. Those are some awesome tips. I'm just speaking with you and hearing the answers that you're giving. You seem to have a lot of knowledge in this field. So what's your background? Did you go to school for this, or did you just educate yourself on your own? Because you just have so much knowledge about the skin and also hair.
Yeah, man. Honestly, my background is actually in the media. I'm a filmmaker by trade and by education, and I, got very interested in kind of the beard and personal care culture within the last 3 years, and just kind of took it upon myself to really get into it, integrated also in traditional, Eastern methods and Ayurvedic, natural treatments, right? My background is actually, my father's Persian, my mother's American, and I got very interested in looking at, beauty trends, or now this is not beauty trends, beauty traditions and personal care remedies that were from, 500 to 1,000 years ago. And how did people before, complex petrochemicals, how were they cleansing themselves and how were they grooming themselves and how were they washing their hair? And one of the things that I found, and it's why it's one of the key ingredients of our product, finding this compound called sedge. And sedge is basically a tree that grows in the Middle East and throughout Southeast Asia. It has, a lot of great natural components. It was used, actually, my dad, grew up in the 50s and 60s in Iran, and before they had, shampoo that was coming from Europe and the U.S., they would literally use this pulverized leaf powder, and they would wash their hair with it. So that was one of the things I wanted to make sure that was in our product. Not only does it have a lot of great, benefits of giving volume to hair and cleansing and protecting, but also it's mentioned in a lot of sacred traditions to have metaphysical kind of benefits to it as well. The tree itself is mentioned in the Quran 4 times. It's mentioned in the Old Testament, and it's used in many cultures throughout the Mediterranean and the Middle East as kind of a sacred tree and a sacred kind of powder. Even, Muslims, when they pass away, part of their burial rites is to be kind of washed in a water that has some of these leaves in it. So it's kind of a connecting you back to the earth experience when you use, our product.
Wow, definitely does sound all natural. And yeah, that is some good knowledge. Now, what if I'm a type of person that cannot grow a beard? Is the products that you have, is it still effective?
Yeah, so we have a lot of folks that actually, we've had women that have bought our beard oil and have used it on their eyebrows. They said they had trouble growing. They've gotten a little too crazy with their razor and lining up their eyebrows. And they're like, oh man, my eyebrows don't grow back like they used to. They got too crazy with the plucker. So they've actually used it in their eyebrows to help bring back the thickness and the fullness of their eyebrow hair. I myself use it on my scalp. Many of our clients use it in their scalp as well. So, we recommend our product for not just for just beard, but for also for scalp as well. We're really excited, hopefully, that our shampoo comes out in the next 6 months. And, people will really be able to see the full benefits of this, natural remedy in their hair.
Well, I'm looking forward to trying some of this myself, especially the shampoo. Now, a lot of times these days, people are very interested in the fragrances and the aromas that these products give off. Now, I know that we're talking, but could you paint a picture for us? Kind of, what kind of smells could we experience when we use this product?
Yeah, so the fragrance palette that we use is a sandalwood mixed with kind of like a tinge of eucalyptus.
Oh, nice.
So it kind of has a fresh feel to it, but also it has kind of a nice kind of, musk, deep musk to it. And, we kind of keep the fragrance on the low end, especially for the beard oil, because when you put something on your face, you don't want to be, it's like right under your nose.
Smelling it all day, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna be getting lightheaded from it. So keep it on the low. It feels real good. It smells real nice, but just perfect. We spent a lot of time formulating the fragrance that it's not overpowering and it doesn't knock people out.
Okay. Now, is there anything that we should avoid when we're trying to grow a beard?
Yes. yes, absolutely, for sure. When you're trying to grow a beard, definitely you want to stay away from those clippers. when you're trying to grow that beard proper, really take, especially if it's your first time, really take your time and try to not mess it up. You know, I think the number one cause of death of a beard is a little too overconfident with those clippers. So, you know, kind of see a professional to line it up and take care of you as the beard is growing out, and then, you know, kind of strengthen your skills with the clippers in order to kind of keep it down on the down low, or to keep it kind of controlled and tamed. Scissors are a good friend. You know, there's a lot more control of those. I'm trying to think what other problems are with people that are trying to grow beards. I mean, make sure that you're getting a lot of sleep. Keep your stress level down. A lot of kind of, you know, type of lifestyle things like that are helpful when growing a beard, because when you're stressed out, you can lose hair. So, I mean, even people can start going bald based on high levels of stress.
Wow.
So, keeping that stress level down, keeping the sleep up, nice protein in the diet, and actually working out. Working out is very helpful in growing a beard, because it'll get that testosterone flexing, and specific exercises, even squats and deadlifts, anything that lower region of those muscles down there, you know, when you work them, they create testosterone through the rest of the body, and it will actually increase the volume of hair that your body can produce.
Man, I gotta tell you, some of the information that you're dropping on us in this podcast is blowing my mind.
Wow.
I gotta start working out a lot harder and getting a lot more sleep if I want to get my beard really kind of popping out there.
Yeah, because we definitely do not want the neck connect or the neck flame, as you coined those terms too.
Yeah, you
do not
want that.
Oh, well, before we go, could you let everybody know where they can find you on social media and also the internet, so they can get their hands on some of this awesome product?
Yeah, man. Our website is mystic-man.com, and you can find us on social media basically all around: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Mystic Man Beard. So at Brian Mystic Man Beard. And, you know, reach out to us. If you got any questions, we got a contact form on there, and, you know, hit us up. We'd love to hear from people.
Definitely, and send in your questions, and hopefully, Justin, you can come back on, because you know what, you're not just selling a product, you are a beard expert, so we'd love to have you come back on, answer some of the audience questions in the future.
Absolutely, man, I'd love to come back on.
Sounds great, thanks for coming on today.
Take it easy, guys.
And we're back to the life of a gentleman. That was a really good interview. I'm really glad that Richard picked one of those to recommunicate with you guys as far as grooming, because that's definitely what we need in 2017. Just because it's a new year doesn't mean that we can just fall off of all of our grooming practices. Now, Richard's last top pick for this episode was when we first had Sharon Schweitzer, who is our etiquette expert, come on the show, and she gave us some, I guess, basic details of etiquette and how to mind your manners, which was awesome. This was when we first ever had Sharon on the show, and since then she's come back on for a segment we like to call A Woman's Touch, and we look to be having her on more in 2017. So for the last segment that Richard chose, let's listen to Minding Our Manners for 2017.
Welcome, everyone, to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. This week, we have a special guest that's going to be joining us. And if you haven't heard of Sharon Schweitzer, you are going to be in for a pleasant surprise. She is a etiquette and modern manners expert. She has written for the Huffington Post. She has books out. She does trainings. So we are in for a treat, and we are going to get so much knowledge and information out of this segment. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard. It's a delight to be on the show with you, and I'm looking forward to this podcast. So thank you so much for your gracious invitation.
We are just so happy that you were willing to accept and come on and help us, because on this podcast, what we try to do is help everyone who listens, because we do have a lot of women listeners also. But we try to promote the thought of everyone improving themselves, and manners is a big part of that. So We're looking forward to the answers that you can give us and hopefully steer us in the right direction. And I know that you will. So thanks once again.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
So my first question, just to get the ball rolling, is exactly what is etiquette and why is it so important for people to develop these type of skills?
Well, etiquette is about three different things, Richard. First, it's about respect, recognizing your own and another person's value. It's about consideration, which is thoughtful behavior, appreciation, and praise. And it's also about sincerity. It's about acting with integrity, tact, and honesty, and not causing someone else embarrassment.
Wow. That was pretty concise, and I've never really heard it explained quite that way.
Well, it does have a few other components, but those are the main three components of etiquette. So, you know, it also includes modern manners. That's what a lot of people call it today. It also includes the components of graciousness, which is the ability to make others feel warm and comfortable in your world. It also includes kindness, and that reflects the warmth in your heart. Those are also crucial components of etiquette. Another component is courtesy. Courteous people express empathy, and they are able to relate emotionally to the feelings of others and listen closely to what others have to say. So in other words, Richard, they use their satellite ears so they can listen well to what other people are sharing, and they don't kind of stare off into space as if to say, you know, what you're saying really doesn't have any interest to me. So that's what etiquette is. That's what modern manners are. Now, you asked me, why are these so important? Etiquette and modern manners are grounded in timeless principles. They allow us to face the future and whatever it may bring without fear, because we have strength of character and integrity. So manners are an adaptive code of behavior. They allow us to be flexible enough to respect others' beliefs, customs, philosophies, and traditions that may differ from our own. So if you have courtesy and civility, these are external expressions of humanity. They're kind of the proverbial glue that binds our societies together. And these qualities are more important today than ever before in our complex and changing world.
Now, why do you say that? Why does the changing world make a difference for this?
Because we have ever more challenging new and different things that happen and that we face every day. So if we can always go back and rely on our consideration and our integrity and our honesty, then we don't have to fear. We know that we are honest. We know we're considerate. We know we have empathy. And we know that those are things we can rely upon because we're mannerly. And so we just know that we can act without fear because we know we're courteous, we know we have empathy, and these are things that we're comfortable relying upon. And so we're comfortable around others. We don't have to have a fear of, am I going to do the wrong thing? Because we know we're not. And so we just have a comfort level around other people, and we're comfortable, very comfortable in our social skills.
That makes total sense. And when you put it that way, it's definitely something that all of us want to attain, because who wouldn't want to be more comfortable around others? I know I definitely would. But how does one develop these modern manners skills? Because we're all raised so differently. And sometimes, sad to say, parents don't instill some of these basic things into the youth today. So how do we develop these modern manners skills?
Well, you know, once again, Richard, whether you're doing a handshake or a fist bump, it's the underlying sincerity and honesty that is going to get you through. So to develop these things, I agree, it's definitely got to come from the parents. And so having been raised with parents who teach you these principles and who sit down and have dinner with the children, those things are very important, and those principles growing up are crucial. And single parents can do it. If you sit down with your child and you have a meal and you teach them table manners, that will get them so far. As a labor and employment lawyer, I practiced for 15 years, And one of the things that I routinely told many of the employers who would call me, they would say, oh, we have two really good candidates on paper. They both look fabulous, and we just can't make a decision because they've scored equally. They're from different universities. We really want to hire them both, but we only have the budget for one. And I would say, well, to break the tie, I suggest you take them both to lunch. One of those candidates is going to disqualify themselves, and they'll do it with their table manners, because you're not going to want to take them out with your clients because they're not going to know how to dine well. And sure enough, the employers would call me back and say, you were right. One of them we would not even take home for dinner.
Oh, no.
Much less out with clients. That's right. So the table manners are crucial, because you can't conduct business well and have your business flourish and have your clients around individuals who cannot eat well and dine well at the table, because people will be extremely uncomfortable around them, and they're going to dine with them. The first time will be twice. It'll be a first and a last, and then they won't do it again. And it'll be very difficult to schedule meals with that individual again. They just won't do it. But if they're fun to be around, the meal's pleasant, they have nice table manners, they will schedule so many meals. It'll be so easy to reschedule. People will be just chomping at the bit to have meals with them on a regular basis. So, you know, in fact, sometimes when you have an event, it'll be tough because there'll be so many people trying to attend that you'll have an overflow. So you really know the difference, and you can tell the difference with the ones who are having a little bit of trouble because they've got poor table manners.
Yeah, and we appreciate you giving us some real-world experience with that, because it kind of leads into the next question. We don't want this to happen to us, that example that you gave. We don't want to lose the deal, so to speak, over our table manners or something else. But what are some of the more common mistakes that you see people making these days?
Oh, boy. Okay, well, I tried to limit this to five. Okay, so defaulting to the informal is number one. People using first names too fast with introductions, especially in this global world, because you don't know if someone prefers to be called by a first name or not. Depends on the country they're from. Number two, an inability to introduce a client to a boss or a colleague at work. You know, some people don't know that you use the client's name first, not the boss's name. And how do you do that? Failing to reciprocate an invitation is number three. If you're invited somewhere, you need to reciprocate that invitation and then invite that person to an event. Number four is failing to write a nice thank you note or send a thank you email to thank someone for the nice gesture they may have given you. So these are just some very common things that people fail to do.
Yeah, and like you said, it makes all the difference. I could see if you did some of those things, you would impress people. I think they would also appreciate the effort that you put forth to show them some courtesy.
Yes, and handling invitations and handling introductions appropriately is really important.
Yeah, I definitely could see that, especially in a business setting. Now, let's say someone is hearing this interview right now and they're motivated. They want to learn more and they want to improve themselves. Now, I understand that you offer training. Could you kind of let us know about this training and how it would work?
Okay, yes, I do. I do offer training. On the website, I have quite a bit of training listed. We just had a style and standards for ladies where we talk about the differences between, and we show examples of differences between professional or formal business wardrobe, business casual, casual, and then what we call dressy casual. So that's called style and standards for ladies. We do style and standards for gentlemen. We do social media in a digital world. We have, of course, modern business manners, modern dining etiquette. We also provide cross-cultural communication training. Then we do global leadership, which is very popular, and that's an inventory of 18 different traits to see how you would do if you were to be selected to be sent to an international destination. And then we work with you on a personal development plan. We also do global etiquette and international protocol training. We did modern email manners, modern telephone communication, and how to dress for success.
Wow, that's a broad range of training. And I could see how it can benefit anyone from a college student all the way up to a seasoned professional. People can benefit from these trainings, can't they?
Yes, they do. Some of the advantages of mastering modern manners and business etiquette or global leadership include better quality relationships, a lot more invitations, more fun, and definitely increased revenue. You know, a lot of people ask, what are some of the top etiquette tips for men? And, you know, a lot of times I'll say that, you know, historically men showed a lot of deference to women with many small courtesies, like opening and holding doors open for women, pulling out chairs, and walking on the street side of the sidewalk. After the women's movement in the late 20th century, some women viewed these courtesies as condescending or at the very least unnecessary. You know, what was a poor man to do? I like to call it dazed and confused. He was trapped in a double standard. A lot of people thought, well, he was a chauvinist if he opened the door, or an ill-mannered clod if he didn't. Well, as with all manners, even the common courtesies get a little makeover now and again. In this case, it wasn't the manners that changed, but who was responsible for performing them. So today, everyone agrees that holding the door open for the next person is the polite thing to do, and that all able-bodied people, regardless of gender, are the ones that open the door. However, I will tell you my top tip for men, Richard, is that on a date or within a marriage, most women and most ladies still appreciate it when a man uses traditional courtesies.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that, because we had a show a few weeks back where we highlighted the theme of, is chivalry dead? And we had sort of a brief debate about that. And that came up, you know, when you start opening doors for people, or it could even be your significant other, if you haven't done that before and you start implementing it, you get a lot of puzzled looks. And so we were wondering, how does one make the transition into starting to implement some of these modern manners? Will it shock those around you that aren't used to you doing those? Would you just go ahead and proceed to implement these changes anyway?
Well, you know, there's a nice way to segue into that. And I would suggest, if you're married, I would suggest that you say something like, you know, because you don't want them to wonder what's going on.
Right.
And is he opening the door? I would suggest that you say something like, honey, I was listening to a podcast, The Life of a Gentleman with Richard Taylor. And they were talking about this very topic. And I thought they brought up a good suggestion. And so I was wondering, what are your thoughts? You know, when we dated, I used to open the door for you. And since we've been married for X years, I kind of have stopped doing that. What would you think if I started doing it again? And just put it right out there. Because remember, one of the top three considerations and one of the top three things that comprise etiquette and manners are honesty and sincerity. So I would put it out there and say, this is what I listen to. What are your thoughts? And I think I'm a wife. I've been married 21 years. I would say, sweetheart, I love it. I think that's fantastic.
You know what, Sharon? The way that you explain that for us, I think every one of us can do that now. And I appreciate the way you tied it back into what you said at the outset of the conversation, too. It goes back to honesty. Go ahead and just let them know that you'd like to implement these things and see what they think. I think you're right. I think most people would appreciate it.
I think they would too. And then, you know, she can always go listen to the podcast. You can say, honey, here's the podcast. What do you think? These are some suggestions. Because we, you know, a lot of us, and here's the other thing that I think gentlemen should know. There's a difference between social and business etiquette. In the business world, gender does not apply. So if you're in a business meeting and a lady stands up, you don't pull the chair out for her. You only do that in the social world, which means on a date or you're out to dinner with your wife. So in those instances, yes, you can stand up and pull the chair out for her, or you can stand up if she goes to the ladies' room. But that does not happen in the business world. So
those are the
distinctions. Yes, it is. It's really good to know. Now, I notice this a lot when I walk in my building in downtown Austin. When I'm going in, a lot of the gentlemen will open the door. because it's a revolving door. There's a revolving door, and then there's one where you can open it. And I always thank them. I'll say, oh, thank you so much. But that's, of course, we're in the South. Mm-hmm. But I thank them, and I thank them when I'm in New York. You know, sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. And it varies. And some women still want to open their own door, and that's fine for them. But if you're in a business meeting, you don't necessarily want to stand up when a lady stands up to leave the room. You do that in a social situation, and it's really important to know the difference between business and social.
That's a great point to remember, too. Definitely got to make note of that. Now, Sharon, I know this interview is kind of coming to a close. We're going to wrap up soon, but I'd like to ask if you'd be willing to come back on in the future and maybe give us some of these tips from time to time. Maybe we could key in on certain subjects and you could enlighten us on those and really bring some points out that we can apply in our everyday lives. Would you be willing to come back on?
If I can add value, Richard, I would be delighted to come back on. Absolutely.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And we will look forward to that and work on getting that scheduled. But before we go today, could you let everyone know your website and maybe your social media and how they can contact you?
Yes. My website is SharonSchweitzer.com, SharonSchweitzer.com, spelled like Albert Schweitzer. And my Instagram is the same thing, Sharon Schweitzer. But my Twitter is Austin Protocol, spelled like the city of Austin, Texas, Austin Protocol. And my Facebook is Protocol Ampersand Etiquette Worldwide.
All right, perfect. So if anyone would like to learn more about etiquette or modern manners, please visit her website and also her social media so you can learn more. As we always say on The Life of a Gentleman, we are all works in progress. So Sharon, thank you for coming on and helping us as we're striving to live this life of a gentleman.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for the lovely invitation.
And we look forward to next time. Thanks again.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Well, gentlemen and gentle ladies, that wraps up our best of episode. Richard could only choose three of his top moments, and I'm sure we'll be having more of these type of episodes in the future. So we really hope that you guys enjoyed the compilation, because none of these segments were in the same episode. And sometimes it's nice reiterating and regrouping and hearing some things that we've already heard but maybe forgot about. And again, all of these things and anything in our past episodes really could be used for 2017. There's no, you know, time limit or time era on any of our topics. We really try to choose topics that can be used no matter what year it is or what time it is or what generation you come from. So we really hope you enjoyed it. And make sure you continue to stay tuned for next week's episode. It will be brand new. We will bring some new topics to the table for everyone. And again, we really hope you had a really nice 2016. And now we're on to 2017, where we will be continuing to take this journey with you all. And please, if you could, rate, review, and subscribe to The Life of a Gentleman. You really can't go wrong there. And it only ends up further helping you guys, because we end up taking your comments and considerations and suggestions and putting that into our episodes so they become better and you'll want to continue listening. Now, of course, we have to definitely thank Richard, Charles, Justin Mashouf, Sharon Schweitzer, specifically just for contributing their voices in order for us to make this best of episode. And until next time, gentlemen, take care. These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake monthly subscription club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandremarie.com.